Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And it is a what? Say it with me, y'all. Great word this morning. Woo! It is a good word. You know, when you think about titles for chosen, you know, and messages that we have to give as pastors and ministers, you know, you try to come up with, you know, Lord, show me what to say and how to say it, and God always gives you what you need. And this morning's lesson, we're in the Old Testament, and we're going to be talking about, you know, how I taught it in children's ministry, that ratchet woman, Jezebel. Ooh, can we say awful? Just awful. You know, how can you be so mean and nasty? But she was mean and nasty, and I just call it, she was ratchet. You know, just a hot mess. Always thinking of something evil to do. And understand, you reap what you sow. And so I was like, okay, so the message is going to be, you reap what you sow. We're going to be our Old Testament word. And you know, and God gave me, I call you friend, because our New Testament word is coming out of the book of John in chapter 15. And when you're in John chapter 15, we're in 14 yesterday, which we all know, just, you know, whatever you ask of God, he will do it, you know, when we don't ask amiss. But the Word of God is so rich and powerful that it changes the course of your life. And this word this morning touched my heart so much that I got filled up. I'm still filled up thinking Jesus loved me enough to die for me, one, and that he called me friends. And he didn't ask much of me except for to love others. Crazy. Because they're like, they just can't be like that. They always so happy and smiling. You know, why do they smile so much? And why are they so happy? Because they have the love of Jesus because he calls them friends. You know, yes, ministers and pastors go through some stuff. They do. But the reason your pastor can smile through the midst of their pain and they can move forward is because they know that Jesus loves them. And, you know, when I hear little kids on Sunday when they have their Sunday service and you have the little bitty ones and they sing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And then when you find it yourself in the Bible that, yes, Jesus loves me, feel it in your spirit, you feel it in your heart, you feel it in your soul. Yes, Jesus loves me. He loves me without condition. He loves me just because I belong to him and he belongs to me. Yes, he loves me because he gave his life for me. On yesterday, many churches, you know, have communion. You know, we go and we talk about, you know, how we break the bread and we drink the blood you know, and we go forward and, you know, we ask for forgiveness for our sins because we cannot take the blood, the element, without first asking for forgiveness. Because God loved us again so much that he even showed us how to take the element. He told us what to do and the consequences of not doing such. That's love. That's God love. That's mega love. We have a mighty and awesome God who loves us so much that he gave his child for our life. How many of us could love so much that we would give up our children for a brother or a sister? That we would care so much about others that we would not care as much about ourselves. We are in a time of such selfish behavior that children are murdered because somebody was having a bad day. Somebody was having a bad day. Children lost their life. We cannot ever forget what Jesus asked of us. Not much. Not $1 million. He just asked us to love one another. To love one another. What he asked of us. So I say this morning, as we get ready to go forward in our word, is love somebody today. Just call a random friend that you hadn't talked to, or DM them, or whatever we do, just to say, I was thinking about you, and I just want you to know, I'm grateful that God made you my friend. I'm grateful you're in my life, and I just want you to know, I love you. And, you know, I get those calls from my pastor. She'll just say, I love you. And so I shout out to my pastor this morning, Pastor Jesse, I love you. Mother Rita, I love you. And I thank God for you. You know, to the evangelists that tune in regularly, I love you, Sandra Shannon. I love you, Teresa Green. And I love all of you that listen in. I love you, Diane Grimble, because you know what? Diane Shaw, I wouldn't be here had it not been for you. I love you, Pastor Frederick Wilson. And I love the whole Morning Glory Nation. Although I didn't get a tune in this morning, I still send love and I still send support because God gave us everything we need to love each other. Love will conquer hate every time if we just love. Be grateful today. Someone in your life that just loves you because you're you. Because you're their friend. Don't forget to just tell someone that's on your heart, I love you, because you never know. It might be the last time you have that opportunity. Why tell your husband, I love you? Because it might be the last time you get to say that to them. And I am so thankful that I had love from my husband. And he told me every day. And I told him every day, I love you. Because love conquers everything. My son went to work this morning, and I made sure I said, I love you. And he said, I love you too. Because we always should let folks know how we feel. We can't have a ratchet spirit like Jezebel, who just hated everybody. Let's call it that girl didn't know how to love. Well, she probably loved her husband, because she showed, but she got him in some devilment. That sister was got him doing all kind of stuff. And let's call it straight, he hated Elijah. Could not stand him. Because you can't stand the folks to just tell you the truth about yourself. Whew, well, let's get in the word. Father God in heaven, we are so grateful this morning to be your children. We are so grateful this morning that you have allowed us to be a part of your wonderful vine. We are so grateful, Lord God, that you allow us to be a part of your family, that you call us friends and that you love us more than anything, that you gave your son's life for us. But we know that he rose again because he took death and made it his own. Hallelujah. He took the keys of heaven. He is in charge. And he loves us. Jesus, I thank you for calling me friend, because you're my friend, and I am so grateful that you love me. I thank God this morning for this mighty word that he has left us, this basic instruction before leaving earth, that we will be prepared when the time comes to vacate, hallelujah, to leave this earth and to come back in the kingdom. Father God, I ask your blessings over this word this morning, Lord God, that it touches hearts, minds, and spirits, that those that hear you speak through me, Father God. But let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, O God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Father God. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. And Father, I would be amiss if I did not ask you to believe. Watch over the bereaved families on this world, in this world, God. I ask you to watch over the people whose families have died in a senseless war in Ukraine and other places in this world that we do not even know about. Father God, I ask you to watch over and bless the families of those that have lost loved ones. From Texas to Philadelphia to right here where I live in Illinois. Lord God, I'm asking you to halt the hate. To halt the hate, God. Give this word of love to this world, God. That those that hear it will know that you loved us so much that you incorporated us to your home and into your life and into your kingdom, that we are part of your vineyard, God. Help us to be better human beings, better people, to care about each other and not just ourselves, God. Father God, I ask you to please let this word permeate hearts, minds, and spirits in the precious and holy name of Jesus. I give myself away today, Lord God. Use me for your glory. Again, in the name of Jesus, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is my friend and my dad. And I am just grateful to be a part of his vineyard. So let's get into the word. We are in 1 Kings chapter 21. Chapter 22, verse 53. And I'm just going to say it again. We're going to talk about that ratchet woman, Jezebel, who will reap what she sows. That's all I'm saying. Just listen and find out that this story has a whole lot of parts. And that you better be careful what you do and what you take from the least among us, because you don't know what God will take from you. And it goes on to say, and it came to pass, after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria, So as I have spoken, maybe I can give me your business. Did y'all catch that word? Give me your vineyard. Not sell me your vineyard, but give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near next to my house, and for it I will give you a vineyard better than it. But you know, it's like, okay, quick, quicker. You give me your vineyard, and I give you another vineyard. Or if it seems good to you, I would give you its worth of money. So then, you know, so at first you read and you think, oh, he's going in to give him his vineyard. It's like, no, I'm trying to be fair. I'll give you something equivalent, or I'll pay you. But understand that this is not just any vineyard. This is just inheritance. That would be like somebody saying to me, I'll buy your I want to buy your house, and I'll give you another house equivalent, but I want your house. And you're like, but I like my house, and I like mine. It's an inheritance for my children, you know, from the father, and I don't want to do that. It doesn't seem right to give up what belongs to them. And they're like, well, I'll give you money for it. But you're like, no, I don't want to do that. This is my forever home. You know, I don't want to sell it. And Naboth's like, but Naboth said, hey, the Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my father's field. So he's like, hey, wait a minute now. I can't do this. This is something that God has forbidden. I can't give you what is an inheritance to me from God. So Ahab went into his house. Now he's all mad because he couldn't have his work, like a poor, rich rat. Is what Ahab is. And so Ahab went into his house, sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. But he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed and turned away. His face would eat no food. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said to him, why is your spirit so sullen that you eat no food? He said that because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite, and he said to me, give me your vineyard for money, or else if it pleases you, I would give you another vineyard for it. And he answered, and will not give me his vineyard. That's what he said. And he answered, and I will not give you my vineyard. So he's all mad and sullen and feeling sorry for himself. Now, you got everything. You got a whole entire kingdom, but yet you want something that belongs to somebody else that you know is an inheritance, and they cannot sell it. They cannot give it away. It has to be for their descendants. But you want it anyway. Why? Because of location. Come on now. But I have to give it to this. I have to say this about Ahab. He was trying to be fair. He was trying to do what was right. I mean, not just take the man, because he could have king. He could have just said, well, you know what? If you won't sell it to me, you won't exchange it for another vineyard to me, then I'm just going to take it. Now, that could have been Ahab. But Ahab was evil, but he wasn't that evil. But guess who was that evil that got him in trouble all the time? So let's keep it moving so we can get to the crux of the ratchetness in this whole relationship. And he said, then Jezebel's wife said to him, you now exercise authority over Israel. Arise, eat food, and let your heart be cheerful. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters to the nobles who were dwelling in the city with Naboth. She wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth with high honor among the people, and set two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed God and the king, and take him out and stone him that he may die. She's like, I ain't got time for all the foolishness of him not wanting to sell. We're just going to take it. Jezebel was a gangster. She was an evil, ratchet gangster. And she did not care who she hurt. She did not mind killing God's prophet. She did whatever she wanted to do because she thought she could. But understand that everything you do that is against God, not loving your neighbor, but she did not understand love your neighbor as you love yourself. She didn't understand that. She didn't understand thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's anything. She's like, I'm taking this for my husband. And this is what she did. So the men of the city, the elders and nobles, who were inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent to them, as it was written in the letters which she had sent to them. They proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth with high honor among the people. And two men, scoundrels, came in and sat before him. And the scoundrels witnessed against him, against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth has blasphemed God and the king. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Then they took him outside the city and stoned him with stones so that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth has been stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard at Naboth's, the Jezreelites, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. So it was when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead that Ahab got up and went down possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours. So Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found you because you have sold yourself to evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring calamity on you. I will take away your prosperity and will cut off from Ahab every male in Israel, both bond and free. I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to and made Israel sin. And concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. Did y'all catch that? Let me read it one more time. You know, we talk about Ahab so badly, but the one that does the kicking and the stirring of that pot of evil is Jezebel. She is a mess. Whew, let's call it, and this is what it, the word of God says. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord because, there's that word, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. And he behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So it was when Ahab heard those words that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his sons, I will bring the calamity on his house. So, you know, he repented. And we don't hear that, you know, in those 15 to 35 minutes that we hear a sermon on Sunday. We don't hear the whole crux of the matter, that Ahab repented. But Jezebel is not going to get. Jezebel is going to do what Jezebel is going to do. She is in charge and she knows it. She does all sorts of evil in his name because she feels that she can. We got to understand that you cannot be unequally yoked. You can't go with just any old guy and any old guy. You can't go with just any old girl. You know, you got to pick the one that God sends to you because the word of God says a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor. Can't just go out looking for your husband. I'm going to get him because you can manipulate him just like Jezebel was manipulating Ahab. You know, but Ahab said, I got it. No, he repented, got in the sackcloth and lay and fasted and repented. Come on now. And went into mourning. Come on. But God said, okay, I'm not going to do this thing to Ahab. I'm going to do it to his descendants. But let's keep it moving. Chapter 22. I told y'all it was a great word this morning. And now 3 years passed without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went down to visit the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, but we hesitate to take it out of the hand of the king of Syria? So he said to Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to fight at Ramoth Gilead? Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, should I go against Ramoth Gilead to fight, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord? Come on now, he called that. These are not God's prophets. Here that we may inquire of them. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imaiah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Then the king of Israel called an official and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes, sat each on his throne at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus is the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied, so say, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. Then the messenger who had gone and called Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in the manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lion spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lion spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours. And the Lord has declared disaster against you. Now Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go for me to speak to you? And Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide. So the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. But Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robe. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. But no, he tells Jehoshaphat, you stay in your kingly remnants. I'm not going to look like the king. So let's see what happens. I told you, it was a great word. I'm all giddy right now. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariot, saying, fight with no one small or great, but only with the king of Israel. So it was when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. Therefore they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it happened when the captain of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. The battle increased that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians and died at evening. The blood ran out from the wound onto the floor of the chariot. Then as the sun was going down, a shout went throughout the army saying, every man to his city and every man to his own country. Oops. I think the prophet said that, did he not? Ooh, I think that the prophet that he hated so much told him what would happen. But, you know, when you don't want to take heed, you want to do you. And you want to lie. Listen to the liars, the proper liars. Everything that the one true man of God tells you, you don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear what thus says the Lord. Even though you may say you do, you really don't. You really don't want to hear the truth. And you know, to get slapped for telling the truth, which he did. But let's keep it going and see what happens. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. Then someone washed the chariot at a pool in Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood while the harlot bathed according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken. Wow. Now let's see what happens. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, the ivory house which he built and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Ahab rested with his fathers. Then Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his place. Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, had become king over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shai, and he walked in all the ways of his father Asa. He did not turn aside from them, doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, but the people offered sacrifice and burned incense on the high places. Also, Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, the might that he showed and how he made war, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And the rest of the perverted persons who remained in the days of his father Asa, he banished from the land. There was then no king in Edom, only a deputy of the king. Jehoshaphat merchant ships to go to Orpha for gold, but they never sailed, for the ships were wrecked at Ezron-Geba. Then Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my servants go with your servants in the ship." But Jehoshaphat would not, and Jehoshaphat rested with his father and was married with his father in the city of David. His father, then Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin, for he served Baal, worshipped him, and provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger according to all that his father had done. Like father, like son, but in this case, like father and mother, like son. You know, we have to pray for our children to be better than we are and that they walk with God. And, you know, you want your children to be saved, set free, and filled with the Holy Spirit. You want your children to be friends of God, and you want to be friends of God. He calls me friend. I want to be called friend by Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. And as we go into our psalm, it says, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." Hallelujah. "Deliver me, O God, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. But you are my hope, O Lord God." Woo, hallelujah. "You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth, out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day." Can you say it with me? Hallelujah. Giving God the highest praise this morning. Proverbs 18:3-5. "When the wicked comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes reproach." And we just read that with the story of Ahab, how he allowed his ratchet wife Jezebel to talk him in to allow Naboth to be murdered. And what happened? Just as the prophet said. He might not have liked Mechaniah, but I tell you what, Micaiah was a true prophet, and he didn't play with Ahab. He's like, "He just hates me anyway." No, he didn't. He just told you the truth. And sometimes you can't handle the truth. As well as that, a few good men said, "You can't handle the truth." Ahab couldn't handle the truth, but the truth was the truth, whether he wanted to hear it or not. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Come on, Proverbs. chapter 18, that was verse 4, verse 5. It is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Folks, better hear this. It's a word from God for a whole bunch of folks that's out there doing wrong in the name of God when they know God don't have nothing to do with that mess. Come on now. God is not a right-leaning or a left-leaning. God is above all of that foolishness. We got to understand. Trust in the Lord, and God will lead you in what to do. But don't follow man, follow God. And sometimes what God tells you to do, the man told you to do. Let's follow God today because he calls us man. Let's get to our main word this morning. Any life lessons from the Old Testament, we will go over after our New Testament word. But I just have to say this word is powerful. John chapter 15, and it says, I am, and we know we're talking Jesus, the vine, but not just the vine, but the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. Do you hear that? Without Jesus, I can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. And they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Come on now. When we go to John, which we read on yesterday, when we go to John 14:14, what does it say? And we're going to go back up to verse number 12. And it says, most assuredly I say to you, if he believes in me and works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then over here in John 15 and 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Come on now. He tells us again, whatever we ask, it will be done. What you desire, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. God will give us the desires of our hearts. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Father loved me. I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Come on now. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. Woo, can you imagine? And the love those teachers showed their students when they laid down their life for them. Laid down their life for those children. They laid down their life about you? Would you lay down your life for your friends? Would you lay down your life for someone else's child? Would you lay down your life for a friend? You are, and then Jesus tells us, he calls me friend. He calls you friend. He calls us his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And what did he command us? To love each other. To love each other. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should, ooh, hallelujah, remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. He called me friends, and he loves me. If the word hates you, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated me and my Father. But this happened that is the word might be fulfilled, that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Woo! They hated me without a cause. There's so much hatred in this world, and it's without a cause. And folks don't know why they hate you. They just hate you. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. He spoke this to the disciples. He's speaking it to us today. When you read the word of God, you have no excuse for your sins. And I love this word, this life example Dr. Stanley gave us. It says the best friend you will ever have. Many of us know the familiar hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. We all consider our Savior a great friend, but none of us have an exhaustive knowledge of the height, depth, and breadth of his amazing friendship. Consider just a few of the elements of Jesus' loving relationship with you. Number one, he has committed himself to you as a friend for life. In fact, this commitment lasts more than an earthly life that eternal. He will never leave you no matter what you do. You may suffer some dashed expectations in your lifetime, but the Lord himself will never disappoint you. Number two, he remains open and transparent to you at all times. Jesus will show you as much about himself as you desire to learn and are able to appreciate. He will never keep from you anything about himself that you need to know. Number three, he renews his loving overtures to you every day. He knows how to meet your deepest longings and he remains sensitive to your wants as well as your needs. Jesus is an inspiring, comforting listener who will never thoughtlessly interrupt or be quick to criticize you. He attends wholeheartedly to your request. He has so lovingly fixed his eyes on you, so it is exactly what you say. What kind of friend is Jesus? Woo! John 15 and 13 answers that question. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus is the kind of friend who willingly laid down his life as payment for your sins, past, present, and future, without complaint. He bore all your sorrows and suffering while pledging never to leave you or forsake you, John 14, 18. Jesus is the friend who sticks closer than a brother, Proverbs 18 and 24. The friend who walks by your side through everything. And because Jesus gave himself once for many people, we, his followers, can give ourselves for a few. He became poor that you through his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Who is your circle of influence? Need the sacrifice of your time and caring. We got to love each other today. Care about each other today. Have the love of Jesus today because he called you his friend. He called me his friend. He loves us like that. He has unwavering friendship toward you and unwavering friendship toward me. Thank God for your friends today. Thank God for the people in your life who care about you, who love you in spite of they're just there to be your friend. And as we go back into our psalm, for you are my hope, O Lord God. Some caution against leading children to Christ, but this isn't an unbiblical mistake. If you don't lead your children to faith in Jesus, others will try to lead them to the trust, to trust in something else. We got to be the first folks that our kids look upon to know that we are his children. I love this one word from 1 Kings, and then we're going to get to a word from our sister in Christ. And it said in 1 Kings 21 and 14, Naboth had been stoned and is dead. Naboth lost his life for obeying God, while Jezebel got away by disobeying him. Yet this life is not all there is, and God promises to set all accounts right. You better understand you're going to reap what you sow. Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up, 1 Kings 21 and 25. Time after time in the Bible, we see how a poor choice of mate leads to physical and moral ruin. What kind of king might Ahab have become had he married a godly woman? We'll never know. Yet even in judgment, God shows mercy. He does not desire the death of the wicked, but rather that they should repent and live, Ezekiel 18 and 32. If you have a chance to go read that today. 1 Kings 22 and 34, a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. The event of any prophecy supposedly from the Lord must take place as declared, or that prophecy proves itself to be from another source. Micaiah gives life on it, and God used the random act of this man to fulfill his will. His word, only a sovereign Lord can do that. They was chasing after Ahab and couldn't get him, but a random arrow got him. Don't mess with God. He calls me friend. He calls you friend. But understand, he does not play. Don't play with God. And I have not got a word this morning from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. But I know that we will. God has got it all covered, and we'll have a word on tomorrow that we'll fit. what we needed to fit. I always know how God works. When I don't get the word on that day, it always fits the next day. But I love the word God gave us in our prayer from our 365 Days of Prayer for Life, our prayer book, and it says this, humble help. If another believer is overcome by something, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Galatians 6:1, NLT. Jehovah, your ever-present help keeps me from falling into the dark ravines of sin and shame. Even when I do stumble, you keep bringing me back to the path of life where your light shines. When I see my brother or sister caught in sin that leads them to shame spirals, may I be a voice of compassion and gentleness that calls them back to the light, reminding them of the truth of who they are in you. Let love, there is that word, let love be the support that carries them out of the entanglement of sin. Let me be a humble voice that reminds them of the freedom you have already given them. Spirit of truth, keep me secure in your affectionate wisdom that I would not fall into the same trap. Thank you for your persistent grace as a reminder that no one is lost or too far gone. May your people be brought back into your light to walk in the way of love and truth. And a question for today. How do you approach those who are living under the weight of sin? And that is a question we each ask ourselves. Do we treat each other the way God treats us? Hallelujah. Have a blessed day, family. And again, thank you so much for listening in this morning. Have a great and wonderful day. Remember, he calls me friend. So when you think about it, say, he calls me friend. In astonishment, know that you are a friend of God. You are a friend of the Savior, and he loves you. And we have a word from our mother this morning. Mother Rita, your line is open. Good morning, Mother. I love you, love you, love you. I send love across the miles to you this morning.
Thank you. I thank you every morning when I listen to you. It's a joy and a pleasure for the wisdom and knowledge God has given to you. And I enjoy it every morning that I listen. But like the lady said, if you never had a problem, how did you know that God was sovereign or that he can? So don't stress, press, and God will do the rest. You got to learn to trust him with your mind, soul, your heart. Stay close to him, and he'll stay close to you. He got you in the palm of his hand, and he loves you with an everlasting love. This is all I had to say, Mr. Gibby. I enjoy you. I love you more to the meaning back in the yard and into eternity.
Mother, I love you too, and thank you for your word of wisdom. Thank you, God, for giving us a mother to come forth with a word that comes from you. As many know, Mama don't speak until God's got a word for her to speak to us. So we thank God for you as well. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family, knowing that God has got you. You are covered. Thank you so much. Thank you all. God bless you all. Have a wonderful and wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. And may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one for me, second. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed. It's a wrap. I got to go to work. Love you all. Be gracious to each other. And know that you are a friend of God. Be a friend to the family. Be blessed. It's a wrap.
Thank you.